If you have a Bible tonight, and if you don't find one, turn with me into the book of 1 Corinthians and into the 13th chapter. We will read from verse 7 through unto verse 13. All right, let's read from verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as one. I thought as one. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Let's go back unto verse 7, and I'm going to inject a word in the beginning of this verse, and I'm going to say the word love. Say the word love with me tonight. Now I want you to say this right now. We're going to say this together. God's love never fails. God's love never fails. Come on, let's wrap. Have you ever seen a bacon-wrapped filet? How good that looks. Let's get our minds wrapped around the goodness of that just for a minute. God's love never fails. So let's read a little bit about this verse. It says that it beareth all things. That means that it does not have the capacity to quit. When you bear something, it's something that you feel. When you carry something and bear it, it's something you know is there. When you are walking in the love of God, I'm here to tell you there will be things in your life that you are meant to bear. If anybody has told you to run from any bad thing you ever dealt with, I'm here to tell you that's false teaching. Because the Bible teaches me that there are some things in life that are meant for me to suffer, to bear, to take a hold of, and to go through with it. Paul was talking about the words about love. He had fought a good fight, and he did not wait until he quit. He didn't give up along the way, but he endured until the end. Some of us, when we feel like that we're beginning to have a little bit of weight put on us, almost take it as a sign that we are failing. Some of us, when we begin to hurt a little bit, have people come against us a little bit, have a little bit of hurt and a little bit of pain, that the enemy is on our tail and we must be failing somewhere. But I want you to look at this in a totally different way, maybe than you have before, because I'm here to tell you the sweet taste of victory is far worth more waiting for than the taste of defeat, the taste of being able to testify that you made it through something is of far more worth to you than if you just said, I made it part of the way and God had to bail me out. There's something special about knowing about what it took to get you through something. There's something magnificent about knowing what it took to get you where you are today. And I don't know if you understand this like I do, but I know that God loves me. I know that He has never left me. I know that when He found me when I was lost, He saved my life. When I had a different frame of mind, He changed it to a better way of thinking. When I had a different speech, He changed my words to be a better man. When He had me out in society and I was a drug dealer, a drug user, He changed me into a totally different person. This is the love that I know. This is the love I know is real. This is the love that walks with me, talks with me, leads me every day that I go. God wants you to know tonight, you might be looking looking at this thing and saying, this is too hard for me. This is too much for me. But what God has given you to be able to bear it is more than enough. And the Lord wants us to be able to get strong enough to walk so that we can bear. I'm knocking on the door. Either you can open up tonight, or I'm going to kick that thing open one way or another. Love doesn't quit. I'm about ready to preach. You better watch out. Love doesn't give up on somebody. Love doesn't slap them in the face when they get mad at each other. Love doesn't give up on a situation that's too hard. If you have a kid, you wouldn't leave them in the middle of trouble. And no matter how much trouble it was, you wouldn't leave them behind, because there's something special about a love that is possessed with someone that is a blood family. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, then we all walk by the same bloodline. We all share the same family. And surely that love of God shouldn't let anybody lay out in the world in trouble. But it wants us to not give up in the hour that it becomes a little hard. The Ark of the Covenant was not carried by a car. It was bore by mankind. It was walked every step where it went. It was carried. It was bore. There was something special about what was contained inside of this ark. There's something special about what is... Can somebody do this right here? There's something special about what is contained deep down inside of you. You might not see it sometimes because you're dealing with something. You might not feel it sometimes when you're going through what you're going through. But I'm here to tell you, it's something that you bear, and you might as well enjoy it. The things that you carry... Love overcomes hatred. Love does not fail. It does not leave others behind. I wrote a piece on compassion earlier this week. If you ever have a chance to go out to our website, go out and read about it. But God has been provoking my spirit about something deeper. We know about the scripture that says, love your neighbor as yourself. We know that the Bible says that the evidence of God in you is that you love the brethren. And sometimes we can go to church and look like we're fulfilling that very thing that the Bible says. But I'm here to tell you, I see too many people today that aren't walking with the freedom they should be walking in. I see people today not walking in the true freedom that they should be walking in, because the praises are not free as they should be. The worship isn't as easy to do as it should be. Taking authority over the enemy is not as free as it should be. I'm here to tell you, it should not take an hour and a half's time just to get enough boldness to take authority over the enemy. If you know about the God that loves you, it has given you more than enough authority to bind the devil and to bind his devices. We've got to learn to take authority. The things that you deal with in your life cannot be won by your anger. The things you face today will not be won by reasoning. The things you face today cannot be done by your resources. But the things that we must face today, we must learn to bear. Without Christ had come, we would not be able to bear the load we carry today. Without his sacrifice to die for us when we were undeserving, we would not be able to carry the load that we walk with today. And yet we think that we walk alone. If you have already been died for, then you've already been paid for. And if you've already been paid for, then he is loving you enough to help you carry the weight that is upon you. He loves you enough to say, to cast your weights, to give him all of your cares, to let him know about the things that are bothering you. And he didn't say to give it to him in a heart of anger. He didn't say he'd get upset when you would talk about the things that you failed in, but he said to cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You might think that you're using love the best that you know how, but there's people out there that need to know the love you have greater. There's people out there that are feeling empty inside, and in this void of emptiness, when love is not present, the enemy sweeps in to look for whom he can take, to look for a heart that he can destroy, to take our young people. We're we're not moving fast enough to reach out to this generation. Yeah, we come in and have a good time, but what about the love that should be there to reach out? I don't care if it's uncomfortable. I don't care if it's inconvenient for you. At some point, the love in you's got to be greater than the love that you have for this world. Yeah, it might take your time. Yeah, it might take your resources. Yeah, they might despitefully use you, but a day's going to come where the love of God that you put in them will begin to convict them. When I was out in the world and addicted, I told my now wife at that time that we were through. And for a season of 2 to 3 months, she didn't see me. She didn't know where I was. Didn't know what I was doing. I was going. I'm not going to say what I did, where I did it, who I did it with. There's no glory there. But I will tell you that I was in a feverish pursuit of destruction. People say they're covering up their pain, but there's only one end to that thing, and it's destruction. People say they're just trying to get through life and cover up a little bit of this, but there's only destruction at the end of that. And at that time, I didn't think about it because I was only thinking about me. But now when I look back on it, I see a heart of a woman that loved me. And through those months when I didn't talk to her, didn't see her, she was having people come 3, 4, 5 together a day, fasting and praying. Sometimes it's easy to forget. There was a lady that used to come here, his face sister. Her name was Juanita. I sure miss her. She prayed for me even when she wasn't well. That's love. She was able to come to our wedding. And I remember the hug that her and Angela shared together. And I thought, God, I rarely see what true love looks like. But this day I have. Compassion looks over everything. Somebody say everything. Compassion and love looks over a multitude. My Lord and my God. Oh, we have a generation that doesn't need us to tell them to get their act together. We have a generation that doesn't need another slap on the head. They don't need another court date. They don't need another day in rehab. They don't need another somebody to tell them that they've got it all figured out, what they need to do to change their life. What they're needing to see is the same love that was shown to us on that fateful day at Calvary when Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that you would be able to lay down your life. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about you driving somebody somewhere. I'm talking about making the time to get to church so that other people stay encouraged. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for another. We don't need another politician to try to pass another bill to fix this. You see, we have taken advantage of the love of God for so long that we're blessed, yet we act like we're not. We have, but yet we act like we have nothing. I'm not talking to people that don't understand this. We have been brought through much and something in itself so we can't go through another one. And when we get complacent on what we know is real, our faith grows stagnant. And as our faith grows stagnant, the power within your mouth to cause a situation to be different is silenced. And as silence prevails, the enemy is sure not afraid to say, I don't want prayer in schools. The enemy's sure not afraid to say, I don't want God in government anymore. The enemy's sure not afraid to say, you're acting too radical in the church of God. The enemy's not too radical to say, don't put them in programs. Don't get them dancing in front of you. Don't do this and don't do that. The enemy will come in many ways, forms, to try to destroy a good work. But he that began a good work in you shall see it through all the way into the day of redemption. The devil wants to take everything that we're willing to give. But if you're holding on to God's love, that's the one thing he will not take from you. You were saved by love, not by works, but by love. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. How you'll win the fight is not what you can do in yourself. I want to keep reading. I'm really going to try my best to drive this home the way God put it in me. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we are not empowering ourselves by knowing that God loves us, then when we come to a point where we're seeking for comfort, we find none. And as we find no comfort in a situation, the things which are carnal are the things that come out of you. Let's put it in some examples. I want you to understand this. If you have not took the time to pray, to read the Word of God, to keep yourself in peaceful meditation, then when things come up in your life that you seek for someone to comfort you, but it's not there, then the first thing that comes out of you is your carnal nature. And by this carnal nature, we will say things we do not mean. We will do things that we shouldn't have done. We will act according to our emotions alone. There's a difference in fighting with love and fighting with carnality. Because carnality seeks victory for itself. Carnality will only be satisfied when they've got the last word. Carnality will only be satisfied when it takes the last cent. Carnality will only be satisfied when I'm driving in the most fancy car. Carnality is only satisfied when we have everybody around us to think we're great. I consider you all to be great friends of me, but I'm not going to go around and take a poll to make sure that you are. And I'm not going to talk about somebody bad so that you'll like me more. Because if we're walking in the same love of God the Bible talks about, there's nothing to fight for. Carnality, or human nature alone, seeks for the destruction of its adversary. When men tried to fight wars without God, they were destroyed. They were destroyed. How many battles are we going to go through to try to fight for our carnality before we finally understand that the greatest weapon that we have was the weapon that rid us of our carnality? How long are we going to fight amongst ourselves? How long will we go through what we go through before we stop trying to fight for the last word? How long are we going to struggle as the world struggles just to be the one that's right? Love does not care who is right. Love does not care about getting the last word. Love will bear all things. So let's go ahead and clarify something for you. When the enemy comes against you and is trying to get on your back, the Lord didn't want you to pray that all that weight be thrown off. He wants you to pray that you be strong enough to bear it. The devil may get me down as far as my knees, but that's as far as he's going to take me. He might get me all the way down to where all that I have left is my will and choice to believe in God. But if that's all that I've got, it's more than enough to win the war. When David was found, he was only a shepherd boy. When Gideon was found, he was a man that didn't even believe in himself. Glory to God. When Joseph was found, he was in a pit put into slavery. But yet the love that God had for them was more than enough to bring victory. You don't need any weapons of this world to win the battle. You don't need the best attorney to win the battle. You don't need to talk about anybody to win the battle. But the same love that brought forth salvation for you was more than enough to overcome. It said love will overcome a multitude of sin. Love has no fear. Love is not afraid. It does not boast. We're getting in here now, aren't we? It's hard to break through that first little bit of ground. Because when you start talking about what people love, they get a little apprehensive. And I came prepared tonight. I prayed a little bit more just to be ready for this. Because I can honestly guarantee you, if we wrote down an honest list of what we love, you won't find God always on the top. I love my wife with all my heart now. She doesn't have to prove anything to me. I'm faithful to believe she loves me. God, if he did nothing else for me, if I didn't win another battle, I'm only 30, but if I didn't win another battle, it's not going to change the fact that I know that God still loves me. His love has never failed me. We are not here to reap the spoils of this world. When you look at what the world would bring, all is vanity when it is compared to the love of God. There's no greater treasure to know than to know that you are loved by God. What a wonderful joy it is to know that that we're a child of the King. What a wonderful joy it is to know that we're heirs and joint heirs to an inheritance incorruptible, where we would have had corruptible things, where we would have called our success by our possessions, that is wiped away, not to be defined by the things we have and the things we earn, but that which we have been given by God. We're almost there, I assure you. We're going to dig in just a little bit deeper. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. Oh yeah, I bet you know. Oh yeah, yeah, we're going there. Yeah, I'm talking to the not so radical, the maybe a little afraid to do it, or the people that are on the edge of the boat looking over and saying, boy, that sure does look good out there. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, what's the first one it says? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. We'll go on to the next ones, but I want you to understand, it is one of the attributes of the Spirit that is within you. Without the cultivation of the anointing of God in your life, love will not be dominant over the things that you need it to help you bear. If we are not obedient unto that which provokes works, can't plant no beans until you break the ground up. Can't get corn to blossom until you open up the ground. You can't have fruit without an investment of effort. It will come at a time when it is inconvenient. And I'm here to tell you, I find it no mystery that in the seasons that God gave us, that He let us plant in a time that was easy, so that when we came to the point where we needed the blossom and bloom of the fruit, that it was hot outside. But what a refreshing, wonderful thing it is to be prepared with the fruit of our labor when we go into the coldest of winters that life will bring. The fruit of what you bear is a result of what you invest in your life. You know what God has made me? The co-op. I'm just a giver of seed. Here, let's give out some imaginary seed. Come on. I'm just here giving you a seed. I'm not going to make the fruit grow in you. I'm not going to make it grow in you, but I'm going to give you the means to where you can grow. The ground that you go home to at the end of the day may not have been tilled in a while. I remember one of the first times my parents wanted me to get involved in the family gardening. My dad, I love my dad. God bless him. He was patient with me. He showed me how to use the Troy-built tiller? And he got me out there and he said, just take it a straight line. And I got through there and I was going on that first row and I was like, man, this ain't so bad. Had it cranked all the way up. And then I got to the end and I turned around. I was like, are we done? No, do that about 50 more times. What? No, man, it's too hard. It's too hard. We're saying that today. We're not willing to bear what we are called to do, because it's too hard. We want to only take one trip down the field and have somebody else plant everything for us. But I've only got the seed, friend. I can't make it grow in you. There has got to be a source to which what makes contact with it will bring life to it. You need some water and you need some light. You need some spirit and you need some sun with a S-O-N. You have got to possess the things that will cultivate the fruit of love in you. Cultivation is the hardest part of growth. Breaking the ground is the hardest thing to do. When somebody speaks ill of you, how many of you have ever been talked about before? I want to see your hands in here right now. When somebody talks about you, I should have brought some soil tonight. When somebody talks about you, it's like they're taking that first little shovel and just breaking the substance of who you are. Oh, come on now. I used to see myself when I would talk about cultivating my life as me with a shovel doing it all myself. But there's plenty of people that go ahead and do some of that groundbreaking for me. They talk about me. The ground begins to break a little bit. They don't give me the chance. The ground breaks a little bit. The coworker talks about me. He uses me. My boss takes advantage of my work. Somebody else digs a little bit more in my corn. It gets a little bit deeper inside. And there comes a point where after you have been broken enough, then that which God would supply you to plant will be able to have a place to grow. Glory to God. The Lord wants you to know that you have to suffer in life, because it's the cultivation of the fruit of the Spirit. We must learn to bear all things, because if you do not, then all of the cultivation is in vain. The place that we lived at before we moved, we rented from a kind couple. They were an older couple. And this last year they were there, one of them had had an ankle injury. And the garden that we had seen cultivated every year was not cultivated this year. And every day I'd drive around that garden, and what I used to see was broken ground had begun to grow out. The Lord doesn't want your place of cultivation, your temple, the inner substance of your spirit, to get so cold and so unused that it's not fit for growth. When you run into Christians that have nothing good to say, their ground is cold. It's the harsh reality. I see a lot of places, people, as God discerns it to me, that have ground that has not been tilled or has been tilled but has not been planted. The fruit of the Spirit must come by cultivation and nourishment. You know what I'm doing? When I come into church and I dance before the Lord, I'm not breaking ground. I'm nourishing my seed. When I praise the Lord and I pour out what God pours into me, what did he say the Spirit was like? Rivers of living water. So what comes out of you is what? Water. Living life. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is a good news from a far country. As you pour out, you are sowing into your brokenness the nourishment, and hear this, the ability for the word to grow. If you want to grow in God, a prerequisite is that you must be broken. If you're full of pride, this isn't for you tonight. If you're not willing to let go of this and let go of that, you're missing out tonight. If you're going to wait until you get the last word, then you're missing out on growth. There are people that I've seen 50, 60, 70 years old that were more immature than I was when I was 5. Lived their whole life on family grudges where you can't even remember who did what to make who mad, but yet you're still mad about something. God don't have time for that kind of nonsense. He didn't call us to be that way. And anyone that is that way is not a witness of Christ. We pray for preachers to tell it like it is, and I'm trying my best. So it's on me or... oh my. So here we are. Some of us need to be broken. You know how you begin to break ground? When you humble yourself. Somebody say humble. When you humble yourself, when you will allow yourself to be to the point where you're willing to show your pain. That's not till you cry. Humble is when you're willing to expose your pain. When you finally let God know about how bad it hurts. When you finally break down and say that I was wrong. When you finally turn around from this that you've held on to for so long. This is groundbreaking. God broke me when I finally got down and said I can't bear these drugs anymore. He broke me when I finally opened up my heart and said, God, I'm ready for a change. And some of you might not have had that kind of bondage, but bondage is no wise different in you than it is in me. We can be held down by so much of this life, but we've got to be willing to admit that we don't do everything right. We've got to be willing to admit that we can do better. We've got to be willing to admit that God can grow in us, because if you make no room for seed, seed has no room to grow. We want the fruits of the labor, but we don't want to do the labor which is required to have the fruit. So my ground is broken daily when I humble myself to God.